This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala khatamil anbiya wa sayyidil mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi al-ghurril mayameen. Wa man tabi'ahum. بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بني الإسلام على خمس شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة والحج وصوم رمضان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers, today I will be talking about one of the most important aspects of Islam, which is often neglected by us, and we are very, very lenient or easy towards this particular obligation in Islam. We know Islam is based upon five. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stated in this authentic hadith that Islam is based upon five. Your Islam stands on five pillars, in other words. And each one of them is important. This is your Islam. These are the basics. This is what the Prophet is telling us. This is not advanced stage in Islam. Rather, this is the basic. This is like a condition for you to be a Muslim. These five pillars. Number one is, of course, the Shahada. When you enter Islam, you accept Allah as your Lord. You accept Allah as the only deity to be worshipped and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the first step into Islam. This is when you become a Muslim. Then after that, the next step, the most important step after the Shahada itself, is as-salah. Five daily prayers. Then in order, it is az-zakah, which is your charity, compulsory charity, which every Muslim must do. If you fit the nisab, if you are eligible, or if you qualify to do this charity, you must do it once a year, 2.5% of your savings. And the details can be found in the books of fiqh. Then it is the fasting of the month of Ramadan or Hajj. Some people say, some ulama say, is Hajj after Zakah. Others say it is the fasting of the month of Ramadan. Those who can do it, those who are not ill and are fit, they must fast. And then Hajj is obligatory upon all Muslims who have the istata'a. Istata'a is basically you are physically fit and you can afford it financially. Today I will be talking about the second pillar of Islam, which is as-salah. And it is often neglected. We neglect it. Collectively as Muslims, as a jama'ah, we are negligent towards it. I can tell you with absolute confidence that most Muslims on the planet, people who call themselves Muslims, who have this title attached to themselves that they are Muslims, they are not praying five times a day. Majority are not praying at all. And those who do pray some, they are not praying five times. And there are even fewer who are praying five times a day. Those are the truly fortunate ones. And even among those who pray with khushu', with concentration, are even fewer. So this huge blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-salah, which was made obligatory upon us, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went upon this night journey, what we call Isra wal Mi'raj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went from Mecca in one night to Jerusalem as a miracle, and then from there Allah took him above to the seventh heaven, having been through all the seven heavens where he met different prophets. And then Allah personally gave the obligation of five daily prayers. This happened, according to most estimates, in the year 10 of Nabawi, not Hijri, the year 10 of Nabawi, when the Prophet ﷺ had been a prophet of Allah, preaching in Mecca and in the outskirts of Mecca for nearly 10 years. Allah made these five daily prayers obligatory. And this is your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is your communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is when you wake up and thank Allah every single day. From Fajr, from the time sun comes up till the time sun goes down and it is dark at night. So you thank Allah five times a day. Now you may be thinking, why is it important to do that? Why do you have to keep repeating? You can do it once and that should be enough. No, repetition makes it stick, as they say, right? Anything you repeat in life, it becomes part of your life. And it shows your dedication to Allah. This is the least we can do. It is Allah who gave us all the blessings. It is Allah who gave us our lives. It is Allah who gave us our health. It is Allah who gave us our wealth. It is Allah who gave us our children and our parents. It is Allah who gave us all the things to be happy about in this life. And it is Allah, the life itself, the life itself is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a ni'mah. It is an amana. It belongs to Allah. And this is why everything we do in life has to be for Allah. Allah tells us in the Quran, Allah commands us directly in the Quran that whatever you do in life, it has to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because He is your creator. He's the one who made you. He's the one who gave you everything. Allah says, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, say to your followers, tell them that your salah, your sacrifice, your life, your death, everything is for Allah. Everything is, this is a Muslim. This is a Muslim. If someone asks you, what is a Muslim? Who is a Muslim? Tell them, this is a Muslim. Qul, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. This is a Muslim. That my salah, my sacrifice, my life and my death is for Allah. Is for Allah. It belongs to Allah. We come from Allah, unto Him we will return. So, salah is mentioned amazingly in this verse. Number one, قُلْ إِنَّ verily, indeed, by default, my prayer. Most importantly, before Allah mentions life and death, think about this. Allah mentions salah. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. So number one is salah. Number one is your salah. No wonder the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put so much emphasis on it. No wonder it is one of the most important pillars of Islam, according to the hadith of Rasulullah. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, O who you believe, يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا enter into Islam ادخلوا في السلم كافة completely ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان and do not follow the lines of Shaitan do not follow his footsteps do not follow his footsteps okay so enter into Islam completely now what is Islam what is Islam this is a verse from the Quran where Allah says enter Islam completely don't play games do not play games if you are serious then do it properly and don't follow the shaitan because anything other than Islam is effectively following the footsteps of shaitan it takes you away from Allah so what is Islam the prophet explains Buni al-Islam wa ala khamsin Islam is based upon five as I mentioned earlier so Salah is number one. It is your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then on top of that, there is no Salah without Al-Fatiha. The Prophet told us in a categorical hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari that there is no Salah without Fatiha. So Fatiha is obligatory upon every Muslim to memorize. There is no Salah without Fatiha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Kitab al-Salah, narrated by Imam Bukhari, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. There is no salah for those who do not read Surah Al-Fatiha. لا صلاة. This is لا النهية. What we call law of negation. Just like لا إله. When we read لا إله إلا الله, that there is no God. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Likewise, لا صلاة. There is no salah, full stop, period, except that you read Fatiha in it. You have to read Al-Fatiha. And what is Al-Fatiha? This is why it is important. Fatiha has been split into two parts. One is for Allah, the other one is for a slave. This is your communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is when Allah looks upon you with mercy. Allah wants to bless you. Allah wants to save you. Allah wants to keep you safe. Allah wants to give you Jannah. So that's why Allah wants you to ask Him. Allah wants you to ask Him. And how do you ask? The first part is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين This is for Allah. You're reaching out to Allah. You are the greatest of beings. All praise is due to you. All praise is due to you. You are the most merciful, the most beneficent. You are the owner of the day of judgment when everything will belong to you, when nothing else will matter except your decree. You are the owner of the day of judgment. And you alone by that virtue or those things we have mentioned, you alone we worship and you alone we seek help from. This is for Allah. The next part is for the slave who is asking. Having clarified, having explained or having reminded yourselves who you are talking to, now, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ Therefore, O Allah, therefore, because I accept all these things about you, therefore, put me on the straight path, the path of those who are blessed by you, not those who have gone astray and have earned your anger. So this is your salah. This is why salah is so important. Because you now speak to Allah directly, your creator. So the importance of salah cannot be stated in one khutbah. My brothers, there is a lot said by the ulama on this. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made some very, very harsh statements about salah. Those who miss their salah, Those who miss their salah, those who do not pray, they cannot possibly be Muslim. Who said this? The Prophet ﷺ saying this. There are multiple reports from the Prophet ﷺ whereby he stated that anyone who abandons his salah, he has disbelieved. He or she has disbelieved. Am I making this up? No, absolutely not. The Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic report narrated by Imam Muslim, Al-ahdu baynana wa baynahum. Al-ahdu baynana wa baynahum as-salah. Faman tarakaha faqad kafar. The difference or the covenant between us and them, the disbelievers. The covenant between us and them, the disbelievers. The difference, in other words, is as-salah. Salah is the difference. Faman tarakaha faqad kafar. In another report, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بين الرجل وبين الكفر والشرك ترك الصلاة. Between a man and kufr and shirk, this is what the Prophet ﷺ is saying. Between a man or a woman for that matter, any believer, between a believer and kufr and shirk is the abandoning of salah. You abandon your salah, you are on your way to kufr and shirk. Full stop. That's what the Prophet is saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the Quran makes similar statements. Why is the Prophet making these statements? Who understood the Quran more than the Prophet? No one. He was the one who received the revelation. He is the one who tells us what salah is. Salah is so important that the Prophet ﷺ had to make these statements. Why? Is the question. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ received revelation from Allah. He was saying what he received from Allah. And Allah said in the Quran, in Surah At-Tawbah, one of the last surahs to be revealed, Surah 9 in the Quran, in the current order, but one of the last chapters of the Quran to be revealed. Allah says in verse 5, when Allah talks about dealing with the mushrikeen, the pagan Arabs who were attacking the Muslims, and the Muslims were told to retaliate. Defend yourselves. The pagan Arabs are attacking you. Okay? Retaliate. Defend yourselves. Defend yourselves. And if they repent, Allah is saying, فَإِن تَابُوا, if the mushrikeen, the pagan Arabs, if they repent. And what is repentance? Is it just to stop hostilities? What is repentance in this case? Is it to stop hostilities? No, that's not enough. They are fighting you, they are attacking you, Allah is commanding the believers to defend yourselves. Okay? But if they repent, Allah says in verse 5 of the Quran, فَإِن تَابُوا, then Allah gives the conditions. What does repentance actually mean in their case? The case of the mushrikeen, the pagan Arabs. What does repentance actually mean? فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ. If they repent and they pray, وَاشَرْطِيَ, in the Arabic language, this is وَاشَرْطِيَ. This is a conditional wow. This is a conditional and, not optional, conditional. So when Allah says, if they repent and pray their salah and do zakat, give compulsory charity, فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ, leave the way. In other words, their repentance will be acceptable. In verse 11 of the same chapter, same surah, Allah says, فَإِن تَابُوا, if they repent, وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانَكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ, then they become your brothers in this deen, deen al-Islam. Then they are your brothers. If they pray and they do zakat, then they are your brothers. No wonder the Prophet ﷺ made those statements. الْأَحْدُ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ الصَّلَاةَ فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. No wonder. No wonder the Sahaba, they did not consider anything leaving of Islam other than Salah. Imam al-Tirmizi, he reports that the Sahaba did not consider anything other than leaving Salah, leaving Islam. Salah was the ultimate symbol of Islam. Even the hypocrites in Medina, the munafiqeen, those who had kufr inside, belief outside, were praying in the masjid. They were coming to pray in the masjid at Fajr time. At Fajr, how difficult is Fajr? Rasulullah ﷺ said, upon a munafiq, a hypocrite, one of the signs is that two prayers will be very heavy on him, Fajr and Isha. Fajr, you love your bed, you're sleepy, you're in slumber, you don't want to get up, and you love the bed so much, especially in winter, you don't want to leave your warm bed, right? And then it's time to pray, you hear the adhan, you don't leave your bed. That's a sign of nifaq. That doesn't take you out of Islam, but clearly it's a sign of nifaq. It's hypocrisy. And then Isha, you're tired. You've been working hard all day and you're tired. So this is what the Prophet said. Two prayers will be heavy on a munafiq. Two prayers in particular. I mean, he's praying Dhuhr, Asr and Maghrib. The Prophet is not saying that those three prayers basically render him not a munafiq. No, he's saying two prayers will be heavy on a munafiq. Fajr and Isha. Allahu Akbar. So even the hypocrites were coming to the masjid. We're coming to the masjid and praying with the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. Not only that, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, La hadda fil Islam man taraka salah. The one who abandons prayer, the one who abandons salah, has no share in Islam. Your zakat, your hajj, okay, your fasting in the month of Ramadan is unacceptable to Allah. If your salah is not intact, if your salah is not there, and you are doing charity, you are going for hajj, and you're fasting in the month of Ramadan, none of these worships or none of these good deeds will be accepted by Allah if your salah is not there. It's like without shahada. There are people who haven't said shahada and they're doing good deeds. On the day of judgment, these good deeds, you think they will benefit them? If they don't acknowledge Allah, they don't acknowledge Rasulullah, they've been doing Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa. You think her good deeds will benefit her on the Day of Judgment? Especially when she has been committing shirk, worshipping a man or the Trinity. What do we believe as Muslims? If you die in shirk, nothing will benefit you on the Day of Judgment. Nothing. Likewise, if you don't have your salah, you turn up on the Day of Judgment with your fasting, with your hajj, okay? Even if you were called Haji Saab in your neighborhood, it's not going to save you. It's not going to save you. So all of these things are very, very important, my brothers. And this part of the khutbah ends here. Inshallah, in the next part, I will mention some more things about Salah and its importance. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Respected brothers, Salah is so important that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the last words in his mouth or upon his beloved, his blessed lips were what? When the Prophet ﷺ was on his deathbed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? It is reported that the Prophet ﷺ, before he passed away, he said, As-salah, as-salah, wa malakat aymanukum. Why is he saying this? This is the most important man to walk the planet. We believe as Muslims, this is the most important man to walk the planet. Even to disbelievers, He is one of the most successful men in the history of humanity. Even a disbeliever called Michael Hart, he puts him as number one. He wrote a book titled The Most Influential Men in Human History. The 100 Most Influential Men in Human History. And when you open the book, number one is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moses is later on, and Jesus is later on. Actually, I don't know where Jesus is in the list. But Rasulullah is number one. Prophet Muhammad is number one. So even to disbelievers, he's a very successful man. He has almost 25% of this world believing in him. And what is he saying? The most important man, or one of the most important men in human history, if we want to take all of humanity, even those who don't believe in him, according to them, he's one of the most important men in human history. In the most important time of his life, what is the most important time of your life? What is the most important time of your life? When you're dying, your wives, your children, your mothers, your fathers, they're all around you, and you want to speak to them. You want to say the last words. You want to say bye-bye. You want to say fi imanillah, in the hands of Allah, I am going. Do this, do this, do this. Make my grave here, do this. So you give your most important instructions. Yes or no? You give your most important instructions. What is the Prophet saying? As-salah, as-salah, wa malakat aymanukum. Your prayers and your prayers and people you possess. In other words, your servants, people who have been placed in your hands as a trust from Allah, they are your responsibility. So take care of your salah and take care of the rights of your servants. These two things you will mess up. This is what the Prophet is telling you. These two things you will really go wrong on. So beware your prayers, 5 daily prayers, and the people who are in your supervision, your servants. Allahu Akbar. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No wonder Umar radiallahu anh, when he was stabbed, leading the prayer of Fajr, leading the Sahaba, when he stabbed, so bad that his stomach was split open completely. A Persian slave named Abu Lu'lu, he stabbed Umar bin Khattab and he split his stomach open. He fell. The Sahaba did not leave the Salah. The Imam fell. Another man came forward to lead. This man, one after another, stabbed 13 companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they finished their salah. They finished their salah and they went immediately to the man who was stabbing everyone. They overpowered him and he stabbed himself in the process. And there were 13 Sahaba who were injured. Some of them, they died immediately. Others were shaheed later on. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an, he went unconscious. When he gained consciousness, it was time for what? What was the first question when his eyes opened? What was the first question? What was the first question? Where are my children? Where is my wife? Bring them so that I can talk to them. I can say bye-bye to them. No. What time is it? What time is it? They said, Asr. He said, take me to Salah. He doesn't care about anything else. He wants to pray Salah when his stomach is split open. Why? Why? Because they knew this is the connection between Allah. One of the Sahabi, one of the companions of Rasulullah, Khubayb, he's about to be crucified. The Meccans have captured him. They want to crucify him. They told him, you're going to be crucified. You're going to be nailed on this pole. Right? What does he say? What does he say? Let me pray. Let me pray before I meet my Lord. I want to pray. So he cleaned himself in front of the Meccans. And Meccans, the mushriks, the pagans are looking at him with wonder. What kind of species are these people? Where did they come from? What's wrong with these people? This is how dedicated they are to their faith. This is how much they love Muhammad and his Lord, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he prayed. And he prayed quickly. And after he finished, he said, you know why I prayed quickly? So that you don't think I am in a state of fear and I prolong my prayer. I don't want you to think that I am scared of you. No, crucify me. And then he was asked, would you rather Muhammad be in your place today? Would you rather be Muhammad in your place today? He said, even if I was given 1,000 lives or something like that, he said, something to this effect. I may be misquoting. Something to this effect, that even if I had a chance to give my life again and again, I would not have my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam pricked by a thorn. Even pricked by a thorn, Allahu Akbar. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what games are we playing? If we are not doing a salah, if we're not praying, my brothers, then there's nothing. This is our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all sin every single day. We sin. We do so many things. Okay, and this is your return to Allah 5 times a day. Allah is so merciful on you that He wants you to come back to Him, fall in sajda and say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, and then Allah will forgive you because you came back to Him. Okay, every salah expiates for your sins. Every salah, every wudu, it removes your sins from you. It removes your sins from you. One of the Sahabi, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have committed a sin. Ya Rasulullah, I have committed a major sin. The Prophet asked him, did you just pray with us? Did you just pray with us in Jama'ah? And he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet told him to sit down. Sit down. Why? Why? Because your sin has been forgiven by Allah. It's a private sin. You don't need to announce it. You have prayed. That is a form of repentance. That is a form of repentance for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But someone who does not have that in his life, what repentance, what connection, what relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? None. You don't pray your salah, you have no relationship with Allah. In fact, the ulama have said repeatedly, do not give your daughters to someone who does not pray. The first question you should be asking the man who comes to ask for your daughter's hand, do you pray? Forget about his money, his job, his car, his house, his influence. He may be a politician, he may be X, Y, and Z. He may be a very rich man, a tycoon. Forget about all that. Do you pray? If the answer is, then your answer should be, Salaamu Alaikum. We're not interested. In fact, Shaykh Uthaymeen, Rahmatullahi Alayh, he was asked, someone who doesn't pray at all. He said, no janazah for him. Cannot be buried with the Muslims. His dhabiha, his slaughtered animals are not halal. And if I'm not mistaken, he added, there is no nikah with him. You cannot give your daughters to such people. Someone who doesn't pray, no janazah. Okay? And no burial with the Muslims. No dhabiha. And no nikah. This person is not from the Muslims. Of course, this is a very harsh view. This is the Hanbali view. This is the Hanabila. They take this view, and by the way, in light of evidence, when we look at the Quran and what the Prophet said about Salah, this view makes most sense. This view makes most sense. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to be very, very diligent about our Salah. May Allah give us the tawfiq. May Allah bless us with the strength and the iman to continue praying until the day we die. May Allah give us, despite all our sins, all our errors, all our weaknesses, may Allah give us the blessing to pray to Him. May Allah allow us to pray to Him until the day we die, because it is only Allah who allows you to pray. If it is not from Allah, you will not pray, and you need to question, why are you not praying? What wrong are you doing in your life that you cannot pray? What evil are you doing? What is in your mind that Allah doesn't like you enough to allow you to pray? It is Allah who will allow you to pray to Him. So seek prayer, seek Allah, and you will start praying. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للذين كفروا واغفر لنا ربنا إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وأقيم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن